Well, it's nice to have a hit series on his hands, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Son of a Critch, Mark Critch, the comedian, the star of a new series. And, you know, they always say write what you know. And so he's just written about himself. A coming-of-age story about the 11-year-old version of Critch. And here's a little excerpt from this great new comedy.
Were you bullied?
How'd you ever guess?
I had a bully when I was about your age. And then one day, just stopped.
What happened?
He died of the Spanish flu. It was a different time.
Who'd like to go live on the radio?
The old man had a way of spinning small-town news that made the mundane seem earth-shattering.
Two men killed, one seriously.
That, of course, is Mark Critch. That was the voice of one of the stars of the program, Malcolm McDowell. And joining us now is Mark Critch, and here along, because Mark Critch is like the wool sock of fame. He collects burrs like me and Scott Reed. We just want to stick around him. And here he is, the human wool sock himself, Mark. Hey, Critchy.
Hey, friends. How are you all doing?
Well, I mean, I just said to Scott, do you want to stick around and read? I didn't even finish it. And he's like, yeah, because he loves it. And he's already a fan. So I'm going to make room now for Scott Reed to lather you in praise. Reed.
I'm lathering right now. I'm just pulling it right out of the peanut butter jar. Mark, it's a great show. I do love it. You've always cracked me up, but it's congratulations, man. It must be such a success. But I do have a question for you. I'm sure you've been asked this endlessly as you do the media around the promotion of this thing, but don't your family hate you? Like, if I was to write an honest story about the stuff that went down in my household when I was a kid, no one in my family would ever speak with me again.
Well, the thing is, both my parents have passed on. Now, Dad would have been 100 years old on January 2nd, if you could believe that. He passed away at the age of 93. But my brother was 8 years older than me and a morning guy and program director with Stingray. He was kind of like, for God's sakes, is there nothing? Can't you go make your Justin Trudeau jokes and pay your light bill? What are you getting into this for? So luckily I'd done the book first that the show is based on, and we kind of got a lot of that out of the system. And he's like, oh, okay, fine, you know, brought back good memories, people seem to like it, that's great. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be a TV show. He's like, oh, here we go again. But he's come around because somebody plays him, and I hired a very handsome young man him, so now he's fine.
You know, I just wanted to say Scott Reed does his research when he asks what your parents' reaction was. That's really tough.
You know, I didn't say parents.
Just
family, you monster.
He said family.
I know. All right. Now, but were you, Critchy, were you more nervous? I mean, because you made fun of politics, and I know you've written the memoir, but a book is a little different because there's a long just. Were you more nervous when it's not just something that you've created that is on screen, but your life? Like, did this particular material make you a little more nervous to put it up there so everyone could see it?
Well, so many more people see it. You know, you have your readers, and they kind of get into it. But then you realize, like, oh, right, there's all the people I went to school with and the families of the teachers and the people who used to work at the radio station. But so far, everything has been great. Every comment so far has been pretty positive that I've received. And I even get one from, like, you know, in the show, Mark is 12 years old and he's kind of 11 or 12 going on 70, you know, and an old soul. And he's bullied, you know, he's bullied a lot. And I've had a couple of these bullies from back then reach out to me on Facebook and go, like, hey, man, I was going through a hard time as a kid myself. I'm sorry.
Are you serious? But was that, like, how closely hewn to your own experience? Like, were you bullied, really?
Evan, I'm still bullied.
That's why I brought Scott in. Scott, you can apologize at any time now. That's why I wanted Scott here.
Yeah, and by the way, I expect your lunch money at the end of this segment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like you're always bullied. Back then it was, you know, a eighth grader in a mullet, and now it's just Ezra Levant on Twitter. It depends on how you take your bullying. But the kids were, you know, I was very much, obviously, I think, weakest link, last pick at gym class and stuff like that. And then you find your friends in the show. My best friend is Richie Perez, who is still my friend today. He was the only kid of color in our school. He's Filipino-Canadian. So he got it hard, too. And then because of that, you're sort of linked together. And then in the show, there's this redheaded girl, Fox, and she's the first girl in a long line of boy bullies. And she's bullying us, but also is quite lonely, so she's secretly our friend as well. She doesn't want anybody to find out about it. So you find her people, you know, you find her group, and then you try and make your way through life together.
Reed, were you ever bullied? I mean this seriously, because everyone's had a tough time. But you know when someone was, like, Critch was genuinely bullied, as you can see from the show. And then everyone said, oh, I was bullied too. But it's like, there's some people that actually weren't really bullied. You know, there's degrees of it. They had like a kind of a little encounter. But some, were you ever bullied in school, Scott Reed?
Well, I appreciate the question, Evan, because I know I look like a swaggering Jerry Reed type of character that could never possibly be bullied. But as a matter of fact, I was talking about this on air yesterday. I was, honest to God. Todd Law and Sean Clapp used to run around the yard, call me Scotty's little softies, and you know, making fun of me. Yeah, for sure, I was bullied, and then I'd lose my temper, and I'd finally grab a hold of them.
You just named your bullies?
I did, because just like Mark, I've actually done this before on air. I also talked about, and this shows up in the show, you know, the awkward, when girls would phone your house or you'd phone girls' house. You had to do all your romance at that age on the phone, the family phone. And, you know, like I once named like Lisa Hanthorne in a column I wrote about like how I called her up at 11 o'clock at night and asked her if she'd go with me. She said no, hung up the phone. The fact that I identified that publicly, she then like got in touch with me through Facebook and told me how correct she was in making that determination. But yeah, you know, we're sorting this stuff out. It's all therapy for us.
Wow.
Well, I think the best moment of Canadian bullying was when I think Matthew Perry said that he, from Friends, said that he was bullied by Justin Trudeau.
He bullied Justin Trudeau.
Oh, well, that makes way more sense.
Yeah, he came out and he said, I bullied Justin Trudeau. Mr. Trudeau hasn't admitted that he was bullied. Critchie, how did you get, because for Scott and I, a bit of the old ultraviolence, Malcolm McDowell, or as Scott calls him, Scott now calls him Roddy McDowell. I don't know why he would ever make that mistake on air. It's just a humiliating mistake. How did you get him?
Well, he was, we had this wonderful casting company agency in the UK, because we were looking all over to find young Mark, and we got Benjamin Evan Ainsworth, who's this brilliant young actor who plays, folks might know from Blind Manor on Netflix, and he plays Pinocchio opposite Tom Hanks in the upcoming Disney version, live-action version of that animated classic. But so while we were talking to them about Benjamin, they said, well, what about Malcolm McDowell? And I said, okay, yeah, great. But can we start looking for people we could actually get? Because it's coming up. I need somebody in June. And anyway, so they sent him the script, and he asked for another one. Then he asked for the book. He read the book. And then he said, can we have a Zoom chat? And I was terrified, of course, because he's Malcolm McDowell. And he looks so scary and everything. But he's not. He's a lovely guy, Liverpool lad. So he knows about growing up in a port town. And we chatted, we had a wonderful conversation, and at the end of about 20 minutes time, he said, you know what, I want to do this. I'm going to talk to my agent, and I don't care, we'll figure it out. Wow. I'm going to be there, I'm your guy.
And let's just say it. Did he say, also, I need $1 million an episode? Like, was there that?
No, he's definitely doing this for less than he does other things.
Okay, good.
Because he really connected with it. But he is a wonderful guy, and he loves St. John's, and he's enjoying the food and stuff like that, and he gets along great with everyone there, and we kind of accepted him as our latest come from away. So he's a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Okay, we got a minute left. Reed, I'm going to throw the last 30 seconds to you, which is any question you want to Mark Critch.
How long will it last, and will you age? Like, and this is an honest question. Like will the show, like, it's not going to be Waltons, will it? Like, are we going to get like, oh, Mark's gone away, and now we're talking with, like, you know, the little kids? Like, how's it going to progress?
Well, it depends on how successful Pinocchio is. we will keep going, certainly through junior high, and then maybe a little bit of high school. We'll take it by ear, but that's how long it goes. That depends on the Canadian TV viewer. But there is a world, there is a reality where we get to season like 35, and this radio interview is in the show.
Yeah, well, this is what we're hoping. We're hoping it's like 2038, and it's like, who plays Scott Reed? Scott's ninth son. Okay, Scott Reed, thank you. Critchie is going to stick around, the star of the great new hit series, Son of a Critch. Stay with us. Welcome back to the big show. We got lots coming up, but we have been joined by the great comedian, the writer, the stand-up comedian, the star 22 Minutes, and the star And the author, by the way, the best-selling book, Son of a Critch, that has now been made into a new television series every Tuesday night on the CBC, comic Mark Critch, talks about his life. And had the good fortune of taking my son to St. John's and basically getting toured around by Critchie and showing his world and showing it to my son. And it's a beautiful world. And it's portrayed so lovingly in this show. Critchie, this is a high bar, though. Like, you got to play your father, and, you know, you lost your father, and when I lost my father a couple months ago, you were so good to me. Playing your father, man, there is more than just acting going along there. That tell me about that, literally playing your own dad. I just thought that was, there must be stuff noodling around your head there.
Well, it's strange, you know, because you write the scripts from the point of view of yourself as a young boy, and then when you are playing the part, all of a sudden it forces you to rethink those situations and look at those situations through his eyes. And the odd thing about it was, which brings you closer to him in the end, and the strange thing was, you know, they recreated all the outfits, right? And they'd look at pictures of Dad and the kind of things he wore. But then they made similar things rather than go out and buy them. And Dad always wore a red blazer because he was a news guy on the radio.
Yeah.
Back then, the news guys wore these red blazers with the station logo and a gold patch and these gold buttons on. So they took the patch and the buttons off Dad's coat and they remade it. So I'm actually wearing things he wore and put, like, you know, my prescription in his old glasses and stuff. And then so that was because they were very big into detail. I kept saying, like, guys, come on, I'm not Churchill. Nobody's going to know what kind of glasses my dad wore.
So what's it like? You put on your dad's glasses, your dad, like, you know, your dad was a very well-known person, a journalist. When you put on that wardrobe, is it, I mean, part of you, you're acting, you're in the script, you're a pro. But part of it, you're a son.
Whoa. Oh, it was heavy. It was heavy. Especially, like, okay, they rebuilt my house, which was torn down since the 90s, that we grew up in, this little tiny bungalow next to the radio station on the outskirts of St. John's. And then so I brought in some stuff that I had in storage for my parents' house. And the dining room furniture is stuff that was in our house growing up. And the radio that was the center of the house, because Dad worked in radio, and the same exact radio that I used to listen to see if there'd be a snow day, that's on the counter. So I'm looking down, and I can see my father's clothes through my eyes. To peripheral vision, I can see our dining room, and it's very similar. The kitchen's very similar. And then I look at that same radio. And then it's kind of like being in this memory. And you can get quite melancholy in those moments. You've just lost your great father. And it's, you know, you're thinking about all these things. But what kind of got me out of that, because I did kind of go into, oh, I miss everybody.
Yeah.
And was then all of a sudden I'd hear young Benjamin laughing at something Malcolm had said or what have you. And then I realized, I'm like, okay, well, it's the same shell of things, even if it's just in the memory, but we're filling it up with new memories. We're moving forward. We're sharing their stories, and we're, the house is empty, and now we're filling it up with laughter and memories again. And it was quite a wonderful thing, where it came from a place that was nostalgic to a place that was of the moment, because this is a new memory happening here now. And I think there's that weird difference between memory and nostalgia and what happened and what you wish had happened. And so you're sharing these moments and bringing them forward with new memories. And that was a wonderful thing.
That's so beautiful. Mark Critch, Son of a Critch, starred, filling the new house up with new memories. That's kind of remarkable when I think about it. How close to reality do you have to hew? Like, when you're writing the script, you say, well, that happened, of course. But, and I remember writing a novel years ago, and when I published it, people were looking for, is that your life? And it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of like a plane. Like, it's, reality's the runway, but at one point you just take off and you soar wherever you want to go. How close to your life does this have to be? Or are you like, this is based on my life and I can do whatever I want?
Some things are quite real, you know, like the school bus stuff and the way that things were at school, very real. And like there, at the start of the first episode, we live next to the radio station, and there's a moose accident. A car has hit a moose. And there's a dead moose, and Dad is doing a voice report live on air as the school bus comes up. And it's very embarrassing. But Dad, that accident happened, and the voice report I'm doing, the news report, is word for word verbatim Dad's actual one he did, except for one sentence, which was a joke two men killed, one seriously, that I put in there. But other than that, the whole thing is real. So there's little slices of life directly lifted. And then there's other riffs, kind of like, you know, if you're a musician, there's a riff on something that happened. Growing up, a room was shared with my grandmother until she passed away, and she would have this picture of water to change it. But what we did was, and she passed away when I was young, but we changed it. My grandfather actually died of TB in St. John's.
Is that right?
My dad was 5 years old, and there was lots of older relatives.
Are you, you're like, you're about, in real life, you're about 79, right?
Yeah, I'm 47 years old.
Yeah, okay.
But I have the body and the mind of a 90-year-old.
Right, yeah, of course, of course. My dad was in the first bubonic plague. Okay.
But this is the way it was, right? And so dad then was like, you know, left without a father. And he was always this mysterious figure. Now, we had lots of people, like an older cousin of dad's was basically Pop in the show. It was kind of based on this guy, Frank Leonard, who was older than dad. He was, you know, sort of like a grandfather figure. And there's older people always around. So I've made that mixture, like an amalgam of all these people, right, made them the Pop character. But my little gift to myself was he didn't die, and I got to know him.
Oh.
And so that was a little thing, because my dad, I was out of reach, you know. There wasn't even a photograph of this guy. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to put him in. And this is who he would be if he had lived, I think.
Okay, that is...
And now he's a mixture of all these other old people, and that was all there. But that's the one major disconnect from reality.
See, I expect always that you're going to make me laugh, and then you get me all choked up. And that's the... That is a beauty. First of all, the other thing I love is your dad was a radio journalist, He's wearing the blazer on radio. You know, like now we don't even wear pants.
You show up to these events, you know, to cover things.
I know.
Like you're a fireman.
I know. It's
you
amazing.
Get there and it's like, oh, get this guy in here. He's wearing a red jacket. It's like, and dad had this great access. All the cops he knew because he grew up with them and stuff, and he was very close with the cops. And dad used to have a drawer at work. Well, he knew all, and everybody always tells me about this, coworkers. He knew all of the news stories, what had happened, the whole thing. And then when he finally got a call from someone in government or from someone in one of the cops would call and go, okay, Mike, you can run that now. He's been arrested. And then dad would go on air, breaking news. And he'd already have the story written with all the details.
Amazing.
But he had a gentleman's agreement. I'm not going to screw you guys. You just tell me and we don't have to have a problem. So he had these every scoop. Dad had in a drawer and was the only guy at the station allowed to have a lock on the drawer. He said, if I have this stuff here, I can report it.
It's great.
But I had to have a lock. I can have the only key. So he would do all these things. So it was kind of cool. And then growing up with dad taking out news clippings and dad talking about politics and dad talking about all this stuff. And I think that's why, you know, I started doing a column and I started writing for 22 minutes and all that because it was second nature.
Well, you've got a lot in the drawer. Mark Critch, the star of Son of a Critch every Tuesday. It's a hit series. And it should be because, you know, we love you here. I love that you come on the program. People are loving it. I'm loving it. Everybody is. You deserve it, brother. You're the greatest. Come on back anytime you want. And I wish you all good things. Mark Critch, Son of a Critch. Check it out, folks.